Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's where you can hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. Following along the reporters that are there in Ashburn at training camp today, some of the news and notes that has come out. We heard from Dan Quinn already about the injury to John Bates. It's a hamstring injury. It's going to be a big opportunity for Ben Sinnott, but also guys behind him. Colson Yankoff will compete for that spot as well. Treylon Burks is healthy. He's back out there, which means you get all your wide receivers out there on the field today. As everyone's wondering, does Washington need to bring in another wide receiver this offseason? Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067 here on The Fan. Reports from Ashburn saying Treylon Burks has made a nice catch. I saw J.P. Finley tweeting about that. Antonio Williams has gotten some first-team reps, and same with Luke McCaffrey, as it does feel like all eyes are on the wide receiver. I'm excited to see the defensive line when I get out to training camp next week. How big is Adafi Owe? What is the role Clavon Chaisson will have this season for Washington? And then the rookie, number 7 overall pick, Sonny Styles. They've all talked about his speed. Can't wait to see it when the pads come on. First padded practice will be Monday for the Washington Commanders. Phone lines are open. Does Washington need to bring in another wide receiver? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Steve in Columbia. Steve, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
Hey, how you doing, AWOD?
Good.
Yeah, they most definitely. Here's why they need to bring in another receiver. You don't want to repeat the same mistake that you made with Noah Brown, a guy who has an injury history, had an injury history, and he got injured. Treylon Burks' track record says he's going to get injured. God forbid if Terry gets hurt, there's no one currently in that receiver room that can replicate what he can do. So if Stephon Diggs is available, go get him now, period.
Are you going to pay Stephon Diggs $20 million?
I don't know what you're going to pay him, but if you want to win, you need to get him. You don't want to fall into the same trap that happened last year. There's no one that can step up to that type of production right now that Terry has.
So
no
my question
we
would to you, my question to you, Steve, would be, then Adam Peters made a mistake this offseason, not bringing in more help.
Yes, he did. He really did.
I disagree with that because I believe that Adam Peters had a vision here, and you can argue we need another wide receiver. I could argue we have two running backs that could help out catching passes and two tight ends that could help out catching passes, and we have four wide receiver threes competing for one wide receiver two.
Hey, did you see what Diggs did with Drake May last year?
Yeah.
Everywhere he's gone, he produces. Everywhere. So, you know, this whole IU thing was crazy. I would have got Diggs from the get-go, period.
That's kind of my whole point here is, if you were going to go get Diggs, get him a month ago, and so he's here in the building to start training camp. That's what pisses me off.
Exactly.
He's got people calling in saying, we want Stephon Diggs. There's a practice going on today.
Okay. Great. Great. We know what Diggs can do on the field. We don't know what some of these other guys can do.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I'm excited to hear from the reports today. No, I appreciate you calling in. And you could be right.
Okay.
And I'm not going to be upset if Stephon Diggs comes. I'll put my hand up first to say it. I would support Stephon Diggs. And why I've been a fan his entire career, going back to Maryland. On my show the other day, I was talking about, dude destroyed us as a member of the Minnesota Vikings. Destroyed us. Then he went to Buffalo, did the exact same thing. He would absolutely help out our team. I just think that if we were going to bring him in, I hate that it didn't happen before training camp, because now I feel like you're upsetting the guys that are actually in the building working hard. Because if he comes in immediately, that's less balls for Antonio Williams, Luke McCaffrey, De'Ami Brown, and Treylon Burks. Immediately.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
I appreciate you timing in, Steve. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Look, Stephon Diggs is talented. And am I the only one that's getting pissed off if it comes down to the contract with Diggs, right? We should not be having that conversation right now. Like, if it was between, you know, $14 million and $18 million or whatever it is with Stephon Diggs, because, I mean, Debo just got $7 million. Diggs probably wants triple that with what he did last year in the National Football League. And so if the argument is between a couple million dollars, what I'm saying is they screwed that up because they should have been having this argument over a few million dollars a month ago, so we should have could have gotten to a conclusion by now. Maybe they didn't because they were waiting on a certain wide receiver by the name of B, last name A, out of the San Francisco 49ers, and trusting in him was definitely a mistake as well then. But I don't believe right now that they've screwed up the wide receiver position because training camp's just begun, and I'm hearing positive reports about Treylon Burks and Antonio Williams and Luke McCaffrey and De'Ami Brown. And, oh, yeah, the number one thing is Diggs got 1,000 yards last year. Yeah, Terry McLaurin needs 1,000 yards this year. If Terry McLaurin's a 1,000-yard weapon this year, then there's less of a conversation about wide receiver. I feel very strong about that opinion, very strong. 2024 is our example. That's your example, right? Success like we've never seen. 12 wins, right? 12 freaking wins. Touchdowns after touchdowns. Terry McLaurin was breaking franchise records. But we need to bring in Stephon Diggs. If Terry McLaurin plays all 17 games, Stephon Diggs not going to be a 1,000-yard weapon also. It's not going to happen. One of those guys would get 1,000. I just really, really want to see this team have success this year. And if that means we have to bring in Stephon Diggs, fine. I just will continue to argue that that probably should have happened a few weeks ago, because when training camp begins, that is the real deal, right? I always say this. The regular season's a marathon. It is so long. You go up and down. You go on winning streaks. You go on losing streaks. Then the bye week's the worst week of my life because I'm so used to watching my favorite team on Sundays. All of a sudden, I'm scrambling for what to do. Then the postseason comes, and that's a second season. Training camp is a sprint. It's a sprint. It's a 40-yard dash. You're sprinting to September 13th. And so this whole conversation, do we need to bring in a wide receiver, Stephon Diggs? That should have happened weeks ago because we are in the middle of the sprint right now for Washington to get started on this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Derek in Brandywine. Derek, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's going on, AWOD, man? This is on Adam Peters, man. And, you know, I know everybody, you know, want Adam Peters to do well, but listen, it's a third year. He brought Noah Brown back when we knew he was accident prone. He let De'Ami Brown go. You know what I mean? When he was in a thing with Terry, he let De'Ami Brown go over, what, like $2 million? And he's bringing him back. Yo, we need another wide receiver. None of those receivers in that room are equivalent to Stephon Diggs. You shot for the moon trying to get one of them free agent wide receivers in the offseason, didn't get one of them. So here we go again, and you're playing this game like we got proven people in the room, and we don't. You know what I mean? Terry could get hurt again. Hopefully not. But, you know, you need another proven receiver. You know what I mean? I don't know what type of game he's playing. Like, if I can say anything against Adam Peters, it's his ability to not pull the trigger fast enough. Mm-hmm. You wait and play this game, and everybody wants to say, oh, well, he's being a savvy agent. Nah, you need to pull the trigger when you know that you need something. You know what I'm saying? And so that's all I got.
Yeah, but Derek, you started the call by saying he let De'Ami Brown go, and now where's your excitement that they brought De'Ami Brown back?
Because we need receivers. You should have never let De'Ami Brown go in the first place. You see what I'm saying? You let De'Ami Brown go, and you re-signed the old Noah Brown who was injury-prone. And you see how that worked out. You see what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing? We know Stephon Diggs is going to produce.
But, Derek, hear me out on this, Derek. Derek, why do you not trust Adam Peters' ability to evaluate wide receiver talent? He brought in four guys, De'Ami Brown, Trey Burks, Luke McCaffrey. Those four guys I'm mentioning, De'Ami Brown, Trey Burks, Luke McCaffrey, and Tony Williams. Are you telling me none of those four can be a wide receiver too?
Antonio Williams, we don't know what he's going to do. He's a rookie. Treylon Burks, he's injury prone. He's basically another Noah Brown. De'Ami Brown, we know what De'Ami Brown could do somewhat, you know what I mean? But it's not like De'Ami Brown is scaring any defenses out there. We know Stephon Diggs is going to be a problem. if we want to be successful, we need to get Jaden the weapons to be successful. That's all I'm saying. Like, okay, you haven't hung over this 15 to 20 mil. You were sitting on that money last year. You could have spent it. Like, this money is, you know, I mean, you could chop up the contract and make it incentive based however you want to do it. That Stephon Diggs is going to come in here and make this offense a problem with him and Terry. What are we doing?
All right, Derek, appreciate you chiming in, man. Look, it could come down to just the money that Peters wants to give out versus the money that Diggs wants to make. All right, that could be the difference that we're talking about here. And that does upset me. As much as I'm an Adam Peters guy and I believe that he has brought in talent in the wide receiver room, if we're arguing about a couple million dollars in August, that's the same situation as last year when I was so pissed off that Terry wasn't here. All right? So we already played that game last year arguing over a couple million dollars. If that's the truth, that it's just an argument over a couple million dollars, then I'm on everyone's side. We got to sign Diggs immediately. Stop arguing about a couple million dollars. But I think it's more than that. I think it is something to do with the fact that Adam Peters drafted Luke McCaffrey, drafted Jalen Lane, drafted Antonio Williams. You can all say we got to pay $20 million for Stephon Diggs. He's going to tell you, I drafted one of those guys to be that position, to be that guy. We'll take a quick commercial break. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local, here on a Saturday morning, August 1st, just after 10:15. This is DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Today, the fans are in attendance in Ashburn, Virginia, for Commanders training camp. President Mark Klaus reintroduced John Riggins and Daryl Green to the Commanders family. That's because Daryl Green will be helping out with new stadium stuff coming up for RFK. And Riggins is joining the preseason broadcasting team. That'll be Dan Helly and John Riggins working alongside Brian Mitchell, our guy B-Mitch. From B. Mitch and Finley, always does great stuff for the Washington Commanders. And our training camp coverage here on 910 The Fan is brought here on 106.7 The Fan is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation, PaulHenrysWindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Don't kill the messenger. I'm just going to read a tweet from Washington Commanders senior writer. Speaking of the wide receivers, right? We've talked about the wide receivers at length today. Zach Selby writes, "The more I watch this receiver group, I understand why the team feels good about what they have. Burks, Jefferson, and Diami have all looked solid in camp so far. The depth is certainly better than a year ago." And that is so true. Whether or not you want Stephon Diggs or not, or need more wide receivers or not, the depth is certainly better than it was last year, when behind Terry and Debo was Chris Moore and K.J. Osborne and a bunch of guys that didn't end up making the roster, or did, and that's part of why we stunk last season. So when you look at the four that I've been saying, Diami Brown, I am a Diami Brown fan. I do think that him and Jaden have chemistry together. Treylon Burks, former first-round pick on his last life in the National Football League, give him an opportunity. Oh, he's injury prone. Yeah, he missed like 2 days. He's back out there today making plays in practice today while people are calling in about Stephon Diggs. There's a practice going on right now that features Treylon Burks, Luke McCaffrey, and Antonio Williams. So those are four wide receivers that are competing for what is wide open right now in terms of wide receiver two. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Pete in Wilmington, North Carolina. What's up, Pete? You're on The Fan with AWOD.
Hey, great show as always. Listen, I'm going to be really crazy here. You know what I mean? And I really like our receivers. I really do. All that he brought in, they're great. But you know what? This year is different because, first off, there's a lot at stake here about the coaching staff and some of the other players and even the GM. It's a tough division. Everybody's better. I think in by this is a division that's going to be 9-8 who wins the NFC East. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I would definitely bring Stephon Diggs in immediately. First thing I would do, sign him what you got to do. And later on, if San Francisco gets rid of Ayuk and nobody wants him, bring him in too. Because this season It's all about injuries. And you need as many people as you can if you're going to win this division. Dallas is stocked up. New York, they don't really have that many receivers. But, you know, you've got to bring these people in. You can't – it's an insurance policy because what could happen will happen. And another thing I'm really worried about is the center position. That's something that really bothers me because I don't think you're going to get away with one low starter at center for 18, 17 games. So having said that, I love all the guys that are already there. I think you've got, you know, McCaffrey and Yami Brown. These are great guys. These are good, hardworking players. And it's about the short game. This is not always about the long game. This is the West Coast. This is dink and dunk, baby. And you got to have those those people that can catch the ball over the middle.
Yeah, good call,
Pete. I'd bring them both in. I know that sounds crazy.
No, I like it, and good call. I appreciate you chiming in. I do agree that you can't always strengthen a room. You can always improve a room. I've been arguing, look, if you were going to bring in Diggs, I would have liked that to happen already before training camp, especially here with Monday pads getting on. You know, training camp's real. It's going on. It's a sprint to September 13th. Before you know it, we're going to have a joint practice with the Dolphins, have a preseason game. Preseason game two, need all your starters ready for that one. That's basically your dress rehearsal for the regular season. It's a sprint right now to the start of the regular season. Let's go to Nick in Maryland. Welcome, Maryland. What's up, Nick? You're on the Fan with AWOD.
Man, you are on a roll, brother. Your energy is incredible today, and I appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
I agree with that last call. I mean, what I'm thinking is Peter's maybe not going after him because of his past. He always talks about he's a commander. He's one of us. He's got to make up to be one of us. And I'm wondering, I can't off the top of my head think of somebody that's on our team that's had any, you know, white beating or, you know, any of the crazy stuff that goes on. Maybe he's trying to stay away from that, or he could be waiting. Don't get mad, man. He could be waiting for Ayuk. It's crazy, I know. But I like the guys we got on the team. I love them all. And I think a couple of them can shine really, really well. Actually, all of them can. If our quarterback, who can make stars out of anybody, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think he can help it so much, A-Lot. That's a big thing there with him, being healthy and making sure everybody – they can't cover everybody, man. And with the tight ends and our running backs, he's going to have five, six receivers on each play.
Yeah, good call, Nick. And look, you mentioned if Jaden Daniels is healthy and Jaden Daniels is flying on all cylinders and Jaden Daniels is playing like an MVP, he's going to make whoever's out there wide receiver look like an all-star, like he did in 2024 when Olamide Zaccheaus looked like a freaking Hall of Fame. Olamide Zaccheaus was awesome because Jaden Daniels was making him so much better. Why can't the same thing happen with Antonio Williams or Luke McCaffrey this season? If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. He mentioned something about Stephon Diggs off the field and off the field, you know, legal controversies. And if that's the case, that makes me a lot more in favor of Adam Peters than if it was arguing over a couple million dollars. If you believe that he doesn't match what it means to be a commander on the field and off the field and a leader in the locker room, fine. Then don't pull the trigger on him. But if you're arguing about a couple million dollars, it's too late for that because guys are on the field. That's my whole take about Diggs. If you wanted him, why didn't you bring him in a few weeks ago? If it's a off the field thing, fine. That's okay. If it's about money, that pisses me off. That pisses me off. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. I see we got a bunch of people on hold. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open throughout the show. I like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. But we got a special guest, David Harrison, who's been in Ashburn covering the Commanders training camp, will join us next. On the other side of this commercial break, if you want to chime in, hang on hold because we will get to your calls before we get out of here at 12 noon. David Harrison, host of Locked On Commanders, joins us next. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. The Commanders had practice today in Ashburn, Virginia, another day of training camp with the pads coming on Monday. Will be your first padded practice. All of our training camp coverage on The Fan is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Joining us right now, a guy who was there in the building to check out practice today on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's our buddy David Harrison from Locked On Commanders. What's up, David?
What's up, man? How you doing? Yeah, we literally just wrapped practice.
I've got to start with this because we've taken already about 50 phone calls. From what you've seen today, do the Commanders have enough weapons at wide receiver?
From what I've seen today, I would probably have to lean towards they could definitely use another guy like a Stephon Diggs. I'm sure that's who everybody is talking about. But, I also do throw out the caveat that it's day three of training camp. Defenses historically start ahead of offenses, and we've yet to see the offense. I was hoping today would be the day, but we've actually yet to see the offense run a full field team drill. So, there's still a lot of concepts to unfold about the offense. But, just like everybody's hearing already from practice, I'm sure they'll hear it from even more people since there are fans in the stands. Some separation issues. You want quarterbacks being able to find targets more on time. And certainly, it's not happening at the rate that you wanted to 3 days in.
How would you rate these four wide receivers from what you've seen? Give us your thoughts on De'Ami Brown, Treylon Burks, Luke McCaffrey, and Antonio Williams.
Yeah, I mean, Treylon, obviously, had the catch of the day. That first day, unfortunately, caused a little bit of a foot issue, so he had to miss day two. Back here for day three, had a nice catch in this practice. Had a couple catches, but had one really nice catch in this practice. Van Jefferson is someone that I kind of was looking to see if he would kind of appear, and today he did more so than before. The unfortunate thing is, and it's not completely on one man, obviously, but a lot of that was unscripted, kind of off-script. Type of stuff versus within structure answers for the quarterback, things like that. De'Ami Brown has had a couple nice reps. Luke McCaffrey actually had a really good day, really nice day. No touchdowns or anything like that, but some really good routes. Got some wins against some starting level cornerbacks on the team. And definitely I think Luke had a strong day and stacking it, right? He had a really good or decent to good, right? Had a touchdown catch, also had a touchdown drop on day two. But overall, a good day of practice day two and stacking it with another good day here on day three.
Look, I think there's a lot of talent in the wide receiver room, and hopefully one of these guys will pop. Treylon Burks, getting him back today was big. You had, all of the guys out there healthy running routes. But it's August 1st, and if you say Washington needs help at wide receiver, how did Adam Peters screw this up 2 years in a row? Because that's what the fan base is looking at this as. Last year, we know wide receiver messed up. They didn't pay Terry McLaurin in time, and then he got hurt. Wide receiver two wasn't good enough. How did Adam Peters screw this up 2 years in a row then if it's August 1st and we need help at wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to really just lay all of it at the feet of Adam Peters from a blame perspective. Obviously, from a responsibility perspective, the general manager's got to answer for the health and the structure of the roster, and he knows that better than anybody else. But, there's a separation there between blame and responsibility. So blame, he's doing what's best for the organization with Terry. There's certainly multiple sides of that whole situation, not just on Adam Peters, to make sure that Terry's getting on the field as soon as possible. Now, again, he did say he learned some things about that. That doesn't entail, just giving the player what they want so that they get back on the field. And that's not what we saw with Laremy Tunsil to get that deal done sooner, but certainly some lessons learned in every interaction and, the injuries to Terry and things like that. The only move I was kind of questionable about, as much as I love, the individual person, was Noah Brown. Just given his history, bringing him back and kind of putting him in a position to be a relied upon weapon was just kind of, to me, was maybe a little bit, in bad error, bad judgment, maybe. That's definitely the one move I would put in that category. As far as this offseason is concerned, look, they went after Alec Pierce. I mean, made him a better offer than the Indianapolis Colts did. He just chose to stay home. And, I mean, when a guy wants to stay in the organization that he's with, it's not a lot you can do as a GM to lure him away from that. Romeo Doubs, I don't know specifically the reasons he chose New England over Washington, but obviously he made his decisions based on that. I don't have any firm reports on whether or not they outbid the Patriots there either. But, AP went out. He did try to go get those guys. Again, there's, the belief is that Brandon Ayuk was definitely in the cards, and from his behavior, it seems like the expectation was around mandatory minicamp time. That was probably going to happen, but they still go to the draft and get Antonio Williams. So, I mean, look, you know, Adam Peters has made moves, done things for the receiver room. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that they've all worked out, obviously, because they haven't, and let him off the hook, per se, because the decisions are still yours, and you have to own them from a responsibility, accountability. But like I said, from a blame perspective, you know, I'll blame a GM when they're just making, like, blatantly over and over and over again dumb decisions that are easy for, you know, those of us sitting outside the building to predict. So inside the building, they should be even easier. Or when there's a lack of effort to bring in that top shelf talent, that's when I'll place blame at their feet. But right now, I think AP is making the effort, making the push in there. It's just not working out. And like I said, certainly he's got an answer for it, but I don't think it's from a negligence standpoint.
We'll get back into Stephon Diggs and the receivers in a second, but the big injury news today was John Bates' hamstring injury. Yeah. How did the rest of the tight end room look today without Bates?
Yeah, Ben said it, got some opportunities, obviously. His reps are going to increase with John Bates missing that time. A couple of drops today. You know, Ben actually had one of the drops. Chigga Conquil also had a drop. So you want to see the tight ends kind of come through in those moments for their quarterbacks. You know, they had a very quiet day one, had a better day two, and then I'd say a somewhat quiet day three. Benson, I think, probably came away with about four catches total for the practice. A lot of them were, design touches, you know, screens and things like that, which you don't want to, you know, you don't take blame or take credit away from a guy, certainly, but not the kind of reps that, you know, I would jump on here with you and say, like, there's this glowing step forward type of day for a young guy. But again, he's got to run the routes that he's called for. So if he's called for nothing but drags and screens, you can't blame the tight end for that. That's what they were working on today. A lot of third down, a lot of end of game, end of half scenarios, which is quick hitters, things like that. So it just kind of came with the territory for the program.
David Harrison with us here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Locked On Commanders. Check him out on Twitter at dharrison82. So much talk about wide receiver. What about the guys defending them? How would you break down your thoughts on the secondary?
Yeah, man, Rasul Douglas just continues to be incredibly impressive. You know, he showed up and he said, you know, what I do is I take the ball away, I produce the ball. And then he goes out there, has the pick six to end day two's practice. And then today didn't come down with an interception. Quantrez Knight did come down with an interception, the undrafted free agent safety. But Rasul Douglas, man, I'll tell you, he was about, you know, two or three laces of a football away from coming down without two or three interceptions. I mean, this dude is just around the ball no matter what. And there's a couple of nice plays. One nice play by Diami, not even really the catch per se, but to track the ball in the air. You can see him slow down his stride a little bit to adjust to the trajectory, caused Rasul to also slow down his pursuit because he's got his eyes on Diami, not the ball. And because of that, Diami's able to make the catch in stride, whereas if Diami continues his stride, Rasul is probably taking that pass off, just for one of the examples. So it's a really good play to prevent Rasul Douglas from getting the takeaways, but he's absolutely having an impact on this defense early on.
So where do you think people would line up if the season were to start tomorrow in the secondary and Amos would be fully healthy?
Yeah. Like a three day training camp depth chart, I would put Rasul Douglas in one of the outside spots. I'd put Mikey at one of the outside spots, and I'd put Amik Robertson in the inside. But of course, you know, Trey Amos hasn't been out here yet. But that's, you know, day three cornerback depth chart. That'd be the first three guys on the field for me.
All right, let's get to the edge rusher position for the Washington Commanders and start with the $100 million man, Adafe Owe.
Yeah, he's been tearing up camp. You know, first 2 days he's just lived in the backfield, it seems. But today, you know, the O-line, D-line has some shells on. No full pads yet. That full pads will come Monday. But a little bit of shells, right? So a little bit of something for the O-lineman to grab onto and get a little bit of fight back. And I'll tell you, I think the pass rush was a little bit more neutralized today. And I think that that's a positive sign for the O-line moving forward into pads day on Monday. And, you know, for the defensive line, I wouldn't take it as a evidence that, you know, everything we saw in the first 2 days is, you know, is going to be BS. But I would take it as a challenge in that room. You know, if I was a coach, I would challenge the guys to, hey, look at all the noise we were making in these first 2 days. And we get a little bit of pads on, and all of a sudden we're not making as much noise. So let's show up Monday and show them that, you know, we mean business and all those cliches that you need to throw out there. But, yeah, good day for the offensive line to get back. But still, D-line looks good, looks fast. They look connected. Certainly some games that are getting played. And, you know, the O-line, every rep they get against it is another opportunity to get better against it as well.
David, there was an interesting question to Dan Quinn in this morning's press conference about blowing the whistle too soon and maybe Jaden not being able to scramble. Are you seeing Jaden Daniels look to scramble more this offseason? What are you seeing in terms of Jaden's pocket presence so far?
Yeah, I think there does appear to be like a deliberate effort to, you know, for not just Jaden, just for the quarterback. Like, trying to get these plays out on time, try to get these plays executed within structure, not have to live off of, because we've seen it for 2 years, right? We've seen this offense, even when it wasn't Jaden out there, these guys, you know, have had to live basically off schedule, off structure, out of structure, whatever you want to call it. And so let's get an offense out here. Let's get a rhythm out here, and let's get a system to where a quarterback can find answers within the structure of the play. And that's where, you know, this is where, you know, maybe coaches will, you know, some coaches learn, like, okay, I gotta be careful what they say, because the conversation all off season has been what? It's giving Jaden Daniels answers in structure, right? So we come to training camp, and the big storyline with the receivers, mainly from at least those reporting, is they're not getting answers in structure. Guys aren't uncovering, you know, within the timeline of the play that you want, and quarterbacks, Jaden, Marcus, doesn't matter who, are having to extend plays more. So I think that's where more concern over this wide receiver two conversation is coming in. If we weren't expecting, you know, in structure answers so early, and perhaps that's an expectation problem too, it wouldn't be as big of a conversation point. But yeah, I think that there is a deliberate attempt to do that. Now, once the regular season comes, I mean, guys are going to make the plays that they need to play, and nobody's going to go out there and say, hey, we want you to stand in the pocket as long as you possibly can. So I think it's definitely just a muscle memory thing, trying to get the system down, trying to give it a chance to succeed more than anything at this point.
Do you think it's safe to say that there was a conversation with Adam Peters and Dan Quinn about Jaden Daniels' injuries last season and happening on plays that were off schedule, and maybe let's get more on schedule plays this year?
Yeah, sure. And I don't even know if it was necessarily from Adam Peters or from Dan Quinn to the other. You know, they've got a very deep analytical staff, medical staff. They've got a lot of people looking at, you know, every you know, nick and bump and metric you can look at. You know, someone from the medical staff may have been the one to point that out first. I'm not sure how the conversation took place. But, yeah, I promise, as much as, you know, we're talking about the stuff, they're certainly talking about the stuff in the building. I tend to live off the theory that by the time I talk about something, they've already talked about it, addressed it, planned for it, and solved it to the best of their ability.
That's David Harrison, Locked On Commanders, also a Commanders digital beat writer and reporter for WUSA 9. Thanks a lot for joining us today, David.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We continue next. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. So training camp began last Wednesday, practice Thursday, day off Friday. Today, day three of training camp. Pads will be on Monday. August 3rd. Just heard from David Harrison on the Rude Guest Hotline. He's got boots on the ground in Ashburn, Virginia this morning, where the fans were in attendance. They made President Mark Klaus and the head coach Dan Quinn made a speech to the fans in attendance, in which they announced that John Riggins would be part of the team, and so would Darryl Green, adding some heavy hitters, and that got everybody fired up there in Ashburn. And we heard from David Harrison about, all right, no John Bates today with an injury. Next man up for the tight ends. Wasn't the best day for the tight ends with a few drops there, but it's at least nice to talk about something other than wide receiver. And I wanted to circle back on the end of that conversation we had with David Harrison real quick about Jaden Daniels making plays on schedule, and what took place in the offseason. I believe that they looked at all the plays that Jaden Daniels got injured on last year, and a lot of those were off-schedule plays. The running to the sidelines against the Cowboys, even the dislocated elbow, he should have handed that off, right, instead of trying to run it himself. The interception against the Vikings, and he's chasing that down. And so I'm sure there was conversations about how do we maximize Jaden Daniels' abilities while also minimizing his risk of getting injured. And I think that's a focus on doing plays on schedule, because there's going to be opportunities for Jaden to make a play. If it's third down, Jaden's going to make a play. If it's fourth down, the game's on the line, Jaden's going to make a play. He's got that in him. It's in his DNA. That's why I love him so much. He's a winner. He's a gamer. All right, but he's got to take what the defense gives him more this year, like he did his rookie season. There were just too many times last season, and I pointed it out. I know a lot of people saw Kurt Warner point it out as well with his viral video last year calling out Jaden Daniels in his sophomore slump. There were times where he went for the home run. Less putting the Superman cape on this season, less home run throws, more on-schedule plays, move the chains, keep the offense on the field, and take your risks, take your opportunities when you need to make a play. You don't always need to make a play on first and 10 and second and six. Let's just try to keep the chains moving. Less home run throws, more of taking what the defense gives you, and less, of course, of him trying to be Superman, because I think that's what led to the injuries last season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Mark in Landover Hills. What's up, Mark?
Top of the day to you, Adam. Great show as usual. Shout out to Heavy Metal, buddy. You guys are really hitting on all cylinders, buddy.
How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing fine, Adam. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad that we can actually talk about practice. There was a practice earlier today in Ashburn.
Hey, buddy. I know you're pumped, and I am too. But I want to get back to the subject that I originally called about, buddy, and I want to say something, man. What you've said is entirely correct. But I'm tired of hearing these guys yip-poodling, and that's all they're doing. Where they're ready to ship out Terry because of his age after this season, but they're going to bring in a guy that's older than him. And they are from the school of the preconceived notion of disaster. It is exactly ridiculous to keep going on and whining about a number two receiver. The last time I checked, the distribution of the football on offensive all over the field, like the more successful teams, and running the football is how you have success. So it is more about the coaching facilitating all the players that they have and making it work than it is about these teams that are loaded at wide receiver and never make the playoffs, because you need balance on an offense and you also need defense, like B. Mitch says all the time, to accommodate your offense. And you need an offensive line, man. That's the most important thing of the trenches, Adam, and you know this, buddy.
Yep. Mark, always good to hear from you, man. Appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067.
Take care, Adam. Have a nice day,
buddy. Yeah, you too, man. Happy Saturday. I'm going to go back
too,
to
buddy.
What they said when LeBron joined Philly, what they've been saying in the NBA for years, right? There's only one ball. In the NFL, last time I checked, there's only one ball, right? There's 11 guys on the field, there's only one ball. So if Terry McLaurin's getting his receptions, if Chig is getting the impact that we're expecting him to make, which is 2024 Zach Ertz, if Rashad White's catching passes, if Bill's catching passes, how many more balls are there to go around for a wide receiver too in Stephon Diggs? And look, I'm a fan of Stephon Diggs, so that's why I kind of hate that I'm like against this signing, because I'm not. It's just that he's 32 years old, all right? And he's asking for what appears to be a lot more money than Adam Peters would give him. But when you're building a successful franchise that you're hoping can compete for Super Bowls and not just one-off successful season where you're 12-5 and then you suck again the next year, you need to build the foundations. And so I think Adam Peters is looking at the three guys that he drafted. I got to keep saying that. The three guys that he drafted: Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane, Antonio Williams. And he has the two other guys in Treylon Burks and in De'Ami Brown. But for this team to build and then win a Super Bowl, is Stephon Diggs going to come to Washington with us this year, make the playoffs, and then go somewhere else next year? Like, most likely, it would be a one-year rental. And so, do you want him to take away snaps and opportunities from one of these guys that you're building up to eventually be your wide receiver two, when you win a Super Bowl? When you compete for a championship, you're gonna lose Antonio Williams' opportunities to make plays this season and develop him because you want to bring in Stephon Diggs for 1 year? Like, if they decide to do that, fine. I like Stephon Diggs. I'm just saying, to build a successful franchise, you need to draft and develop your guys. And it's not like they haven't drafted a wide receiver. They've drafted three. And we used a second-round pick on a tight end. So the way you successfully build a franchise is drafting and developing. If you want to call out Adam Peters and say he hasn't drafted well, fine. But that's not the answer of signing Stephon Diggs. It's drafting and developing your own guys, in my opinion. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Call AWOD on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. If you're too busy to call in, you can tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.